It's time to step inside the Iketagon with your host, Ike Feldman.
And Matthew and Francisco. What's up, fight fans? What's up, combat sports community? It's not a funeral, but it's, I don't know. It's something. UFC 292, yes, Francisco's making fun of me with the tears, but all the tears have been cried on my drive home from Boston. Go find the In the Car podcast I did. I was screaming, Boston sucks. Their best delicacy is some wet, cold fish on a roll. You can't find anywhere. The whole place is a fucking maze. Every time a New York fighter goes there, Shane Burgers against Calvin Kattar, Chris Weidman against Dominic Reyes, Chris Weidman against Brad Tavares, Chris Weidman against his own freaking knee, and now Aljamain Sterling against Sean O'Malley and the UFC. Yes, I'll throw that in there. Boston is not a place for New Yorkers. I'm a Mets fan. I never felt the Yankee Red Sox thing, but now I'm saying, fuck you, Boston. Fuck you, because now I feel the New York versus Boston thing. What's up, boys? Please, take it away. Do something.
The hostilities.
I thought I was going to save that.
I mean, just to stay hostile with you, man, I never needed these fights to say fuck Boston.
My goodness, man. You know what pissed me off more than anything is how quickly Sean O'Malley and yes, Matt Slater on Instagram at m.slatermma, and of course Francisco Guzman. I believe it's Cisco Images with the Z360. I have to pull up the Twitters. I forgot the Twitters off the top of my head.
It's fine.
But yeah, Sean O'Malley to be that dismissive of Aljo after Aljo took all the risk, put his balls on the table, made the short turnaround. He's the champ. He's a quote-unquote the greatest bantamweight of all time. He's fighting in essentially a road game. Oh, dude, they were screaming, fuck you, Aljo. Shh. Dana White, even if he gave $500,000 extra to Aljo to say, ooh, hell yeah, I'll put down the French fries to take a fight on 2 months' notice, they're going to make so much more money than $500,000 off that Sean O'Malley victory. Well played, UFC. Well played.
Yeah, it was a big ticket fight. I mean, people watched and
they put the finish. Sure. They put the finish on social. I don't know if Francisco, you sent me that.
But yeah, they put it on YouTube. Like, I think the night of or the morning of.
It's about generating.
They never put, I mean, they put only round two, but they never do that.
No.
Moving forward, you're going to see a lot more of that. This is their new, this is how they are looking for new viewers in the modern era. It's not so much about the exclusivity. If you want to get the fights, if you follow the sport, you're going to want the whole fight, you know? But, I mean, look, we live in a cracked streams era, you know, like that. They're just looking for more viewership at this point. It's advertising dollars. That's where they're going to make their money.
Well, it wasn't that long anyway, so they figured why not put it in there?
Yeah.
It was only 7 minutes. It was a knockout plus his interview.
I can't think of a single main event fight ever since I've been watching, like ever, that they put on. Like usually you see somebody's like third party website, but they put the finish, the replay. You saw the like.
Yeah, they put the replay too.
I mean, like, you're living in this era where, like, what are they going to do to control that? People are going to post it anyway. It's going to get out in a day or two. You might as well take control of it and just post it yourselves. You
know? I was saying that years ago.
Yeah, but they do a good job of taking down videos. They do a good job of that. And the videos that they do post is so close up, you can't really see what's going on. They're really bad quality.
Yeah. Well, I remember a whole, like, decade of that shit. It was just, like, third-party cameramen posting like bad angle fight footage.
Oh, gosh.
I kind of miss that shit, honestly. So let me ask you guys a question.
Got a little quiet here for a second.
Is
that a moment of silence?
I should have had a they do it back in the days with a bottle of beer for the ones that ain't here.
Oh my god.
What did you guys think of that co main event. Main event? You see those statistics Whaley? Going on? The co-
Dude, yeah, yeah, yeah. Whaley was wailing on her.
Whaley was – Whaley is so powerful. You ever seen her pick up Ngannou off his –
No,
his
I haven't.
Dude, no, she took – she yo, Ngannou's nearly 300 pounds. She fights at 115, okay? She picked Ngannou off his feet and put him on her shoulder. Like one leg, bang, put him on her shoulder. Dude, she is strong as an ox, bro, this woman.
She looked strong. I mean, and those bro. Statistics from that.
Yo, that dark choke in the first round, though. That dark choke in the first round, though, that was tight.
I thought that was good. I was actually kind of impressed. I thought she actually, like, was going to have a little more success with that.
She was dangerous with those submissions, but that's all she really had. Whaley just mauled her the entire time.
Frankie, what the hell is your Twitter? I'm looking Real Knuckles 36. I'm trying to remember it off the top.
The Real. All right, let me. He says, I just made this up. I still don't remember my own.
I remember Matt's.
What's this?
The Real Knuckles 360. Very easy.
So, got mine posted.
Live the Real the Frankie boys. Knuckles at Real Knuckles 360.
Got it. Recapping.
I gotta remember that because
UFC 292.
I'm constantly trying to
motherfucking UFC 292.
Well, we did talk about this. We did say that this is a big possibility that could happen, and it happened. You know, I know you said that I didn't make that full prediction. Right.
So yeah, Matt.
But
Frankie's texting me. I told you. No. I need the stamp of this is how I guarantee you Weidman was gonna knock out Tavares. I couldn't be more far the fuck off.
Yeah, I don't think you got that prediction correct.
Yeah, that was bad.
You're off the mark.
We both smelled that was not gonna happen.
We'll have to do a pick segments for this weekend's card. I'll bring it up, but let's stick with the main event. I know I expressed some very passionate hatred towards what happened. It was ugly, dude. I went more north for 45 minutes before I was like, wait, 95 north? That doesn't make sense. It took me 7 Ooh. Hours to get home.
Ooh. Oh, that's a long ride.
That's a rough drive back.
It was. I got in the hotel room 4:30. Jerked. Ate some sandwiches. This might be the rag now. But yeah. Anyway, I mean,
that reminds me of Good Will Hunting when he used the glove. Remember that?
I just seen that for the first time this year. I swear, I don't remember. Oh, I'll have to rewatch it. Jeez, I didn't catch that. It's so funny. I watched.
How do you like them apples?
I remember that. Yeah, dude, Robin Williams getting tough with Matt Damon. That was a fucking great movie.
Incredible movie.
My wife goes,
that movie's good.
Literally back to back nights we watched Good Will Hunting, and then we watched. Yeah, fuck, you're right.
About Boston.
That's the fucking theme. Oh my god. Back-to-back days, my wife goes, oh, Matt Damon's very handsome. The next day we watched The Last Duel, you know, the night movie, the Ridley Scott.
Yeah,
dude, he looks like absolute trash. And she goes, what happened in 20 years? but
acting roles.
Yeah, man, you guys know, this is now, I'm figuring out the more I see the sport, aside from technique, but the business side, I think, is just as important. The matchmaking side, somebody's path to the title, is just as important as studying the technique itself. There's no doubt that Charles Oliveira, UFC 280, Sean O'Malley, Peter Yan fought on that, Aljo, TJ, Charles Oliveira is this marauding lightweight. We haven't seen this guy finish somebody since Khabib a couple of years prior. He's the champion, and he's going to Abu Dhabi to face this guy who's got one loss, who's Khabib's, next-in-line prodigy. The UFC paid the man from the favelas. And a Brazilian card, a pay-per-view card, was 2 months later. You tell me Charles Oliveira couldn't wait out? What'd they give him, 300 extra thousand? What's 300 extra thousand from somebody from the favelas or Dagestan or Uniondale, New York? That's a lot of money. For the UFC, they look at it as Islam is my wife made a great point. She goes, you're bringing the Muslim in front of the Sheiks. How much did the Sheiks give Dana White to get a title fight for their boy? You know? And the same thing with Sean O'Malley to get that fight against Aljo. Maybe it's 300, 500 extra K. I can't see it being more than that. And they're probably going to make, they said it's the second highest gate, 7 million. How many are they getting from the pay-per-view streams? How much is Sean O'Malley and Marlon Vera going to get in the next fight? It's a business move. I don't think it's clean. I think it's I'm not going to say a dirty business move, but I'm going to say it's a savvy business move. You know, you give these fighters who fight in tooth and nail to make six figures, and they take the fight. So I just when it's my guy, it becomes more obvious, is my point.
Yeah, I get it. You know,
well, Francisco, you've seen this from the boxing world, right? Like, you know all that. Like, I'm learning all this shit about money, promoters, promotions, like, as we go with the MMA history.
Yeah, the point is that, you know, there was a little bit of a indiscrepancy for a minute there, right, with Aljo saying some stuff. Dana was pissed off about that, you know. So I guess he wanted to shut everybody up and say, all right, I'll take the fight, you know. I'll take the fight in August.
Right. He turned it into fuel.
Yeah, just had a fight with Henry Cejudo, so, yeah.
I mean,
but you know what? Knowing that you know, this is what we were talking about too, right? Knowing that he might have a fight coming up, you know, him putting on so much weight is, I mean, these guys doing that, like, well, when are they gonna get it?
I think he looked like he was very fit. He didn't seem like
he was fit. He was fit, no doubt. And I don't think he lost because of a weight cut. I thought he lost, of course, because of a technical flaw, you know, reaching in. He did. I mean, you see him close his eyes before he gets punched. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was like,
he's like full force moving forward.
Yeah, he threw the punch, and then he sees it coming. He's like, you could see that he knew that the punch was coming.
Well, and I agree. Again, it ties into that whole idea of like, the way I was talking about the way he really shows you that he's about to take a shot, right? He threw this right and was just in straightforward motion. You could tell he was really like, he was waiting for the counter right to drop into a shot.
But he was so far off balance that he couldn't do anything. He couldn't get out of the way.
He was too pitched forward. Yeah, he was too pitched forward. He couldn't get the shot off. And, you know, he didn't even try to defend against the punch. It was there.
It was there.
No cross guard, no nothing. Yep. He just got wrapped. You know?
Now, do you think they stopped it prematurely? I mean,
a little bit.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Look, I'm not going to say that it wasn't a good stoppage. I think at any point that a ref stops it, if somebody's on the bridge of going unconscious, you got to give it to the ref. It's a panicky situation. You know, you're going to jump in there.
Argue that when he turned his back on the ground and he was about to get up, he was in danger.
He was about to sit. He was going to grab a leg.
Because he could have kicked him on the way up. He could have kicked him right in the face and would have been over.
Well, there were a lot of things that could have gone very wrong for Aljamain
Sterling. Or even punched him, right? He could have caught him with a good shot on the way up.
Even if it had kept going, I'm pretty sure it would have ended in the next time. Yeah, he was going to keep hitting him. Maybe like a 5% chance Aljamain Sterling manages to recover. But
I agree.
It didn't look like Sean O'Malley was missing on those shots at all.
Dude, he had plenty of left in the gas tank. Like, the first round was a feel-out process, so he was going to empty.
It was like 40. There was like 2:40 left on the clock, something like that.
Yeah, it was early in the round. It was like maybe a minute or two.
Oh, wow.
Before he dropped.
Yeah, right?
And
then it was like 40 seconds of ground rounds, and like, there was, he had time. He was gonna finish that.
Dude,
I hate
hearing the quote that Aljo's like, yeah, you know, I wanted to make this an entertaining fight. I wanted to placate to the crowd a little. You know, it's like. And Francisco and I were talking about this Sunday morning after I was driving to Canada. you put me in a trance. It's the eye of the beholder, or like the guy who holds all the chips. Like, fuck what everybody says, man. Do you think GSP gives a shit like what anybody said, or Khabib early on his career? Fuck no.
How about Anderson Silva? When what fight was it?
Oh, yeah, in Abu Dhabi. Dana White had all those sheiks. He goes, oh, we're very excited to see Mr. Spider. We are very excited. And then they're like, oh, we fucking hate the spider. He was facing Damian Maia.
Damian Maia, right. Yeah, and Dana was
the best. That was a while back.
2011, something like that?
That was a while back.
Dude, wow. Dana White's been in those sheik pockets, or the sheiks have been in Zufa's pockets for a minute now.
Well, I mean, you want to talk about that shit. It's like the Israel Adesanya pronouncing he's Chinese. Like,
what is this? Like, what is this thing going around? What do you?
He said he's Chinese. Shit,
he said, that, dude, he's like.
I saw somebody make a graphic where he's holding the Chinese flag, but I'm like, what?
He, like, went off about it. Like, oh, I love China. My heart's
Chinese. Oh, like LeBron James? Did you guys hear about that with LeBron James a couple years ago?
John Cena has done it. Yo.
Oh, yeah, John Cena.
A billion people are watching over there. Like, you're going to want to – if you want to fill up seats, you sell yourself to those people. That's it.
Dude, the world is getting smaller. It's crazy.
That's insane. That's news to me. Shit.
I mean, how much is Francis and Tyson getting in October, man? But I heard the rumor for like Joshua, was it maybe Anthony Joshua or somebody? They were gonna like rent a cruise ship, and just the sheiks were gonna be like. Did you guys hear about this? They were gonna fight in like the middle of the fucking ocean.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. These fucking guys are trillionaires, you know.
It's literally unreal money.
These guys are rich, richer than rich. You know,
like, everybody got nervous with the golf, Live Golf, and now like Mbappe is getting money. The French soccer player,
they're buying up all these.
But it's like, dude, Dana White's been when he made that bubble, the Abu Dhabi bubble, like that thing is gold plated. That bubble.
Oh yeah, Dana White knew what he was doing. He knew where the money was.
Dana's a hustler, though. He knows where to chase money.
Dude, and then he's shaking Aljo's hand. Like, don't shake Aljo's hand. You did it. He's saying, thank you for doing business. Dude, I mean, it's a lot.
Look, I
What's your number, Matt?
I feel like
how much money would you take? What's your number that you would just...
Do what?
You would have to massage Sheik's feet for the rest of your life.
God damn.
One mil a year? Nice, 1 mil a year? It's a 6-hour job.
As a 6-hour massage daily?
Yes.
Feet? Feet? No. Shit. 6 hours.
You're a pretty boy, so they'll tip you well, too.
That's a long tour. I don't know, man. We're talking some big bucks.
Frankie, what if they said, you must do 500 push-ups a day?
Could you get carpal tunnel and shit doing those feet, man. Come on.
Frankie, how much would you take? Right? You have to do 500 push-ups a day.
500 push-ups a day?
Yeah, for the sheiks. How much?
You... 500 push-ups a day? Hey, you know,
why does he get 500 push-ups? You asked me to rub feet.
You get feet.
What would you rather do? I'd rather rub feet.
I'd rather do the fucking push-ups.
I'd rather
do the push-ups. Fuck that, man.
Dude, that's a lot of push-ups. I tried to do like 100 a day for a month. That shit is hard.
Really? I
think you can just get through it, brother. You can do it.
Yeah, 100. Man, shit. 100 a day? That's nothing.
Well, 500?
For months,
you talk about
500. If you take good enough breaks, you could do 500 push-ups.
Then you're working all day.
Yeah. See, the thing is, what happens with push-ups is, or any exercise, is if you don't, like, let's say, get a good enough rest between the sets, you're going to burn out. So you won't be able to get 500. But if you get a good 5-6 minutes between sets.
Okay. You're 2 hours foot massages.
You do 50 at a time. You do 50 at a time. It's easy.
2 hours.
50 at a time. You got it.
2 hour foot massages or one hand job a day.
You've thought about this a lot, so what
you know, we're off topic here, god damn it.
I didn't tell you guys I'm streaming live from Abu Dhabi.
Streaming live from a sheik's basement right now.
Oh,
a hand, wow,
dream come true for 2 hours of foot rubs a day.
You're right with the carpal tunnel.
You got carpal tunnel from rubbing toes, yo.
Jesus Christ.
God damn.
2023, it's a crazy time to be alive.
Dude, I've heard some crazy stories that, like, the Sheik's, like, this is pre-YouTube era. They would go to, like, New York nightclubs, rent out VIPs, and do crazy shit, like, where nobody sees them, and then go back to their country.
I've heard stories about them. Renting out spots and doing some crazy shit. Oh, yeah.
Francisco, I was wondering, man. Your hands were looking a little rough, like they've been working.
Yeah, that's that. You know, that's me smacking up A-Rap. They're like,
oh shit!
Whoa, you took it there, folks. I do not condone anything that comes out of the bottom screen. I do not condone anything that comes out of the bottom screen.
Both of you guys are fucking just trying to get us canceled. We haven't even started yet. Just trying to get us canceled.
This is forever going to be out there. God damn it.
All right, let's lighten the topic. How was Matthew Slater's Friday night?
It was all right. It wasn't bad. It was quiet. It was quiet for a change.
Okay, does quiet mean like a coffee and chill date? Like what's a quiet Friday?
We just stayed in. Let's keep it right there.
You always
stayed in.
That's okay. That's an interesting way of putting it. Staying in.
Yeah. There it is.
Frankie got it. Oh, are you guys excited for the thing is now that they released DMs. DMs aren't DMs anymore. I'm about to show Frankie's DMs note on the screen. But Sean O'Malley.
We're definitely getting canceled.
No, they're entertaining. Frankie's DMs are hysterical. He sends some funny ass shit. Matt just took a pube out of his mouth.
Something like that. Awesome.
So, anyway, follow Matt on Instagram at m.slaterMMA and Frankie Guzman, Cisco Images with the Z.
This is a fight podcast. I'd be like, I just know,
right? What's going on here? Bro?
No, the DMs. There's a theme to the DMs.
Rubbing A-Rap toes and
there's a theme to the DMs.
Never have I ever. Like,
I'm off the rails. But Sean O'Malley has DM'd Connor. He says, "Hey, am I going to be a co-main event for you main eventing in December? Do you guys think that's going to happen?"
Put out there. Conor McGregor, right?
Yep. Are you guys interested?
I didn't even know Conor was fighting in December.
Apparently, Michael Chandler was even siding with it. He goes, "Yeah, man, I signed the UFC, and then a month later, I was ready to fight." He said, "So that whole 6-month testing thing, it's made up. It's like an arbitrary number." So,
yeah, supposedly he was going to fight in December, but Conor put out some stuff that he might not fight in December. I don't know what's going on.
Is Conor too cocky that he thinks he could just step in the gym in September?
He's looking pretty big. That's all I got to say. You know what I'm saying?
That doesn't necessarily translate as a good
thing. No, of course.
Well, you know, it doesn't. What I'm saying is he looks pretty big. He's not testing. You know, like, he's avoiding a lot of stuff. It's just
I hear direction. You now.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I agree 100%.
It's pointing in one direction. I mean, come on. And he still wants to fight, right? Like, Connor is like that privileged child. You're like, fuck that. I'm getting a fight. I don't give a shit what you guys say, right?
Yeah.
So what's going on here?
Well, and it's that stardom, you know? It's very similar to, like, I don't know if you guys remember last week. I was talking a lot about the idea of, you know, a Sean O'Malley win being a good thing for the sport. It's that idea of star power and all the attention these people bring. And, like, you remember the Conor McGregor hype train, right? Like, how much fucking money does that guy make for UFC every time he fights? They don't give a fuck if he's on steroids or anything else. Why would you? Talking about billions of dollars. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, did you guys – I sent it to you, Ike. Did you guys see that lawsuit that's coming?
No.
Big lawsuit that's coming towards the UFC, kid?
Can you explain it? Because it's in the horizon. It's on the horizon.
It's a class action lawsuit. I thought it was like 8 or 10 fighters, but it's a lot more than that. They're talking about fighter contracts being illegal. They're talking about changing that.
Look, I've been saying for fucking years, fighters need some kind of unionization because, like, it's such a predatory industry. If you don't have proper representation, you get fucked, and that is like the nature of the beast. So, I don't think that the class action against the UFC is wrong in any way, shape, or form. That guy is fucked.
I think it's 800 million or close to a billion or something like that. It's a large number.
Yeah. Well, you think about the purses this guy offers fighters and how much he generates in revenue. Like, that's where this argument comes from. It's like, how can you profit so much from the exploitation of the performance we put on as fighters?
And they should do like a tier retirement stuff, like a Chuck Liddell. Maybe he gets 100K a year post-retirement and so on down the line. Frank Yeager, 100K, other fighters, 50 or 10K, just maybe for just being a blip on the radar. But yeah, man, there's a lot of shit that's got to happen.
This is why you need some kind of like organized structure to an argument like this. There's so many different ways to cut this cake. The reality, though, is that I believe the fighters should be taking the majority of profits from fighting events. I don't think that organizers and promoters should be taking the line.
At least 50-50 like the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know how the NFL does their money, but I 50-50 and call it operating expenses and fighters pay, fine, whatever. But I know that that's not the way this shit's cut right now.
What,
you know?
You guys have heard the numbers, right? I think Jorge he went on SportsCenter with Kenny Mayne when he was like very upset about the contract. I forget what fight it was around. Maybe one of the Usmans. I think it was the second Usman one. He was like, yeah, fighters, we only get like 15 to 25% of the revenue. And hockey is the lowest out of all the top four sports. They get 40%.
Yeah.
That's crazy. What they're saying is that if this lawsuit goes through, it's going to change the game because the UFC is going to be forced to change their contract. You know how they do contract with fighters, of course.
Well, it's going to give
fighters the ability to go to other organizations to have options, and not get stuck in these contracts that they keep adding on to as their careers go on. So,
well, and you know, like the way those constructions are, the way those contracts are structured gives a lot more autonomy and control to the promoters and managers who actually, like, you're sitting there, okay, you're on a 4-year contract. Now you're on another 4-year contract. Now you're on a 2-year contract. Actually, you're fired. No more contracts. You're done.
That's how they do.
Yeah, I know. You don't want to sign this contract right now? Fine, we're blackballing you. You'll never get another fight with us again.
Right, and now it's like John Jones is on a quote-unquote 8-fight contract. He's not fighting 8 more fights. But that's probably what GSP signed when he came back to fight Bisping. And now they're saying you can't fight Anderson Silva in a boxing match. You can't do another promotion. You can possibly grapple. Like, that's nuts.
And meanwhile, they're not going to find him fights. You know, like, they'll just keep them sitting there waiting. And I think it's very predatory. I think it's a very bad system. So I'm very happy.
Their practices towards other organizations is the reason why they have leverage over Bellator and PFL and all these other organizations, because they're able to get away with a lot of things that are pretty much illegal, you know?
Well, you totally nailed it. When you said the UFC is going to have to look through all their contracts moving forwards and restructure the way they do this, every single other promotion in the world is going to have to follow suit, whether it be boxing or MMA, like Flex or PFL.
Well, boxing already has the Muhammad Ali Act, so it's, you know, which MMA doesn't. That's another.
No, exactly. This is the beginnings to that, and even with the Muhammad Ali Act, I feel like there's still more room to be gained for fighters. You know?
Oh no, you're right. You're right.
Like,
this is huge. This right here is huge. This is gonna, from what I hear, this is huge. Like, this is gonna really shake up, the organization and how they do business.
I mean,
it's gonna give other organizations the ability to compete because of the way things are structured. The UFC is able to shut out the competition that way.
It's a monopoly.
Now it's going to change. It's going to change all that. So.
Yeah.
Can this guy get on a major network though? He keeps doing like selfie videos with his update, like the lawyer, right? The guy with the glasses.
Oh.
I'm like, what, dude, I go, Dana White's going to find you and fucking kill you. I go.
Yo, he got the money too if he wants to.
I can play one of those videos if, where is it?
Really quick. I'm curious.
Here we go.
It's an antitrust case. That's huge.
So
okay. Yeah, here, I got the So Breaking News video up. Let me share screen. Nope, not Pornhub. Let me make sure I'm clicking the right tab. Which tab is it? Oh, God. Here we go. All right.
There it goes.
So breaking news. Just today, a federal court in the U.S. has certified
they're gonna
a
kill
class
this guy.
Action lawsuit against the UFC. Now, this lawsuit's been going on for the better part of 10 years, and a few years ago it looked like it was going to be certified. But today, the official reasons came out certifying the antitrust lawsuit. So in a nutshell, a bunch of fighters sued the UFC saying they used illegal techniques to acquire dominance in the market, and they abused that dominance in the market. And the effect of that has been to underpay fighters drastically over the years. The lawsuit started by some individual fighters, but they want.
So, you know, I tell my fighters all the fucking time, go into boxing. That's where you'll make money. You're never going to make money in MMA. This might change that narrative. But I mean, like, honestly, you want to make money fighting, you have to box.
Yeah. Right. I remember on the same night, UFC 268 and then Canelo Plant, they showed like the salary side by side. Canelo made like 30, Plant made 10. And then Usman and Colby, they like split 5 million. I go, what the fuck?
2.2 million, some shit like that. Like, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, loser makes $10 million in boxing.
Yeah, more than the whole card. Yeah, yeah. And UFC 268 might have had more views. That was Colby, that was Rose, that was Chandler, Gaethje. Like, that might have had more views than.
And, you know, like, a lot of people argue, like, oh, well, how much should you pay a fighter? And it's like, do you know how many tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, potentially billions of dollars come in? Advertising, sponsorships.
Dude, Francisco is on this. Francisco's on this. That's why he should watch his back. But he sent me a link that the UFC in quarter one of this year, they made like 370 or 270, which was more
in
than
profits, in
every
profits. Really,
other fight promotion in the world. Every other combined.
Yeah.
But they really made $1 billion after paying back. Remember, they had to pay back that when they bought the UFC, right? They're still paying that off. So after paying off everything, they had a profit of $300 million.
Yeah.
But they made $1 billion.
And how much do you think they gave to fighters since January? Maybe $15
million? I heard the percentage went down from a few years back to now.
Even if they gave the fighters,
money,
everybody, $25 million.
But they didn't raise the percentage. Yeah. They didn't raise the percentage throughout the years. So.
Well,
so
you know,
they make more money, but they didn't raise the money for fighters.
Well, and that's the thing. You have these fighters like Conor McGregor and Sean O'Malley that bring so much hype on their own that they're making way bigger paydays than, you know, the UFC's providing them with. They're making more money on their sponsorships. You know?
I mean, it's just incredible that a guy like Conor McGregor, who's not as accomplished, let's say, as GSP, has made this
10 times as much.
You know, that's insane. GSP is a legend.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a big fucking mouth like Conor McGregor. He doesn't have that in-your-faceness. He doesn't have, oh, man, I got to
watch. You know what's crazy is? You know what's crazy is? Not only did he have a better career, right? But GSP was huge.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I know he was from Canada, but he was huge.
He had a whole nation.
He wasn't into getting into all sorts of shit like Conor is. And I just think that they never really put much behind GSP.
Dude, it's if Dana White, if you get like a Roger Goodell, like a statesman in that position, somebody who wants the sport to be seen as like martial artists, not slapping his wife, and Stephen A. Smith's like, you know, that sort of thing happens in that sport. It's like, Conor McGregor, Mike Tyson. And my whole theory is like, shouldn't the martial artist, shouldn't the boxer be held to a higher standard? Like, they are literally like a human weapon. They have these training techniques that can dismantle, kill people. It's not an NFL player punching his wife. A martial artist needs to be like more disciplined than an NFL, NBA, or baseball player. But yet, we have this stereotype that, oh, it's just an MMA guy. They're fucking crazy. They fight naked in a cage. It's like, what?
Look, I think this comes down to precision and proper technique. So I think these guys are doing a much better job of beating their wives.
Yeah, they what was that joke? I designed a punch to make your liver bleed.
It drives me nuts. Like when Dana White did a whole promo for Bruce Lee, they were like, yeah, Bruce Lee would be proud of this organization. I go, what the fuck are you talking about? I go, leather pants and mink coats and throwing chairs at press conferences? What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, Bruce Lee would love it.
I think it's like all hype machine.
You must be like water. Like water can throw chair. Water can throw monster energy.
Have you seen that video of the reporter interviewing O'Malley and Henry Cejudo walks by talking shit and he says some like dumb shit and
I saw that.
Nobody takes that guy seriously. Yeah, it's like everyone's walking around looking for a moment to make some kind of drama, and if it sticks, they sell it.
Looking for a moment, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. It's by design. Like they're looking to sell hype. It sells more.
That's why I really attract to those quiet, like, Kazakhstani, Russian, Dagestani, even Australian fighters who are just, like, humble and just fucking savages.
They just go in there and kick ass.
I love Dmitry Bivol and Artur Beterbiev, man. I fucking love those guys.
Beterbiev is a beast. Love that guy.
I was talking with Francisco in the car on my way to fucking Montreal. I was like...
And he's Canadian.
There you go.
Well, he lives in Canada right now.
I was going to interview him. He didn't get back to me.
Oh, gotcha. He didn't make it. That's what happened.
Yeah, I turned around. Oh, my God. But, dude, Terrence Crawford was just on with Rogan. Listen to the whole thing. He is like, and yes, I do consider martial art, boxing a martial art, a discipline. I believe it's like the technique of punching. I know boxing is considered its own sport, taekwondo, karate, but I see boxing as like the art of punching. Anyway, I see Terrence Crawford as like the number one martial artist in the world. The way he talked about like his skill, about the way he carries himself, about somebody said, yo, you can make more bag if you acted this way. And he is himself. He's a family guy, hard worker, obviously beautiful tactician in the squared circle. But I'm like, dude, these fighters nowadays, everybody's trying to be like Conor McGregor 2.0.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Mayweather.
Yeah. That one. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at the history of combat sports, like people have been talking shit since gladiators in the Coliseum.
But look, nobody was more of a trash talker than Muhammad Ali.
But right? He was himself.
Okay. But Muhammad Ali did it differently, right?
Yes. He did. Regardless
of the fact that Ali was a trash talker, right? He trash talked against his opponent, right? But he didn't belittle his opponent. He joked about them. He called one guy, George Foreman? He called him the mummy. He called, Floyd Patterson? He called him the rabbit, right? And the reason why it's funny why he called George Foreman the mummy is because of the way George Foreman fights. George Foreman went like this, so he was like doing the whole mummy move. it was hilarious. But the thing about Ali was his trash talking was entertainment.
Yeah,
it wasn't like F you and saying, you know, degrading people's families and all that stuff that Conor tried to do with Khabib. Khabib almost took his neck off and jumped off the cage, right? No, Ali did it with class. That's the difference. And he was a poet. He was everything. He was a showman. That's why he did.
Like, look, I'm gonna just put this out there. I think most people are fucking dumb as shit. People don't want poetry. They want shit talk. They want Conor McGregor calling your mom a whore. That's
what is it? The pop music. Well, Taylor Swift.
The reason why they want that is because it's easier to talk shit. It's hard to do what Ali did. Yo, go back
and watch his, I agree.
Go watch his interviews.
It's a good point.
I mean, it's hard to do what he did. And he was one of the – he's an icon. because of it.
Yeah, but it required thought to follow Muhammad Ali's shit talk. Like, you had to really, like, know what he was talking about. And he wasn't – you're absolutely right. It was all class. He wasn't trying to humiliate you and destroy you. It was – I can beat you on my with my words as well as my hands.
Exactly. He was trying to. He was just trying to get into your head. That's what he was.
And
doing.
In this modern era, what I'm saying is, I don't think the fighters are talking shit to each other. I think they're talking shit to the audience. Like, I don't like, you're a martial artist. You understand this shit. Like, we have nothing but respect for each other. Like, we're in there bleeding together. There aren't a lot of people doing what we're doing, and not for the love of it. That's for sure. You know, so like, you don't like, even if we get in little fights, like, we kick the shit out of each other, we move on, we're friends after that, you know?
Right.
Like, I think all this hype, this shit talking back and forth, it's to fill seats because people think that's what a fight is. It's,
well, controversy, you know? Controversy sells.
It does. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think that eloquent shit talk is really what people want because it's too much.
It's fast food. It's fast food.
Yeah, exactly. They want fast food. They don't want to wait 45 minutes.
They don't minutes
want to go, man. Plate of filet mignon. They want that fucking White Castle 17 sliders real quick.
God damn.
Murder burgers.
I'll be right back.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Terrence Crawford is the filet mignon.
Yes.
Dude, I thought about this. I go, what the fuck is Sean O'Malley going to look like at 50? Like, he's still going to have all those tattoos. Is he still going to have the pink hair? Like, what the – is he going to make it to 50? I'm like
– who wants to make it to 50?
Definitely this guy with the class action lawsuit.
Yeah, right. The first time I came on and spoke, one of the big things I spoke about was this idea that, like, the Logan Paul or Jake Paul or whichever one of those idiots, whichever one's fighting right now, like – His pay-per-view outsold the Terrence Crawford Spence fight by 150,000 views.
Right. Yeah. You brought that up. Like, the Diaz, Jake Paul.
It broke my fucking heart. Like, I was on the verge of tears.
Wait a second. How much did they – wait. That Diaz, Jake Paul fight? They outsold more Crawford than 650,000 views, you sure?
Yep.
Yeah, it's at 800,000.
800,000?
I'll look it up right now. Yeah.
Oh, my. Yo. That's
yo, cool. Frankie's sad. About to fall out of his chair.
Oh my god, that is insane.
Yes, that dude, that says it all.
So Crawford Spence sold 700,000, and then Paul
that's crazy.
That's crazy. That's like a crowning moment for Crawford. Like, he's like, I made it.
That is terrible news, man. That is terrible news.
It says a lot. It says a lot.
All right. No. All right. Hold up. Okay, so what I was reading was projections on this.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised. Which is making
me much more
hurt. I know the Garcia tank fight made a million, like 1.2 million compared to Crawford. That only, that sold more than the Terrence Crawford fight.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was insane, you know, but you know, hype is bigger than substance in the fight game.
Oh, 850,000 PvP pay-per-view
views.
Wow.
Yep, 850,000. He outperformed Errol Spence Crawford by 150,000.
Jake Paul's a marketing genius. We cannot deny it.
Yeah, I fucking hate him. I got to give him credit though. Like, that's
I think it's like Donald Trump becoming president. You understand?
Yeah.
He was popular already. He was, you know, like, he got into boxing and he was already popular. So people were going to want to see that. If Jake Paul was a nobody getting into boxing, nobody would be watching him. That's just the honest truth.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, my whole thing, doesn't that make you feel like it's almost insulting to the sport? Like, the work that people actually put in.
It just shows you that boxing isn't a sport anymore. You understand what I'm saying? Real fights don't sell. Yeah, real fights don't sell. It's not about, like I said to a friend of mine, it's not about substance anymore. Because boxing was about substance. You put the good fights together and then you sell it, right? Now it's all about substance. That's why it took Terrence Crawford so long to get that fight against Errol Spence.
Yeah, 100%. Right? I mean, 100%.
Because they don't want to match their fighter against another fighter, even though the money is there, because they don't want to lose their fighter to that fighter, and et cetera, et cetera. Promoters are keeping it in house. They're not giving us what we want as far as the sport is concerned. There's a reason why these YouTubers are over here. Like just recently, KSI and Tommy Fury was going at it. Let's see what that's gonna sell, right? That's what people want to, because the casual fans are not just the ones watching. I mean, the casual fans are the ones that are watching. They don't follow the sport like that. So they see a YouTuber throwing, you know, like, what is it? His father went and
John Fury could punt in the NFL.
They're fans of the guy, not the sport.
Yeah, that's what I said before. People were saying that he's bringing eyes to the sport, but he's bringing his fans with him. That's really what it is. Once he goes away, his fans go with him. You understand?
Yeah.
That's what we're
looking for. I do. And I think it's a huge, you know, disservice to the sport. But again, we don't know what history is going to say about this moment. This might actually be exactly what the sport needed. Maybe in 10 years, all of these kids will be diehard boxing fans. I don't know.
It's a nuts time. It's a nuts time we're in.
I'm not an optimist, brother. I'm a realist. I think it's fucked. But like, hey, man, we can pretend we're optimistic here.
I see myself in 10 years always checking in, keeping an eye on the big fights in boxing. Like maybe like Gervonta Davis is when he's like 38 or whatever.
It's like Dana White said that boxing is like a going out of sale. You know what I'm saying? Convention, right? Mm-hmm. They put a going out of sale thing. They put all their money into it.
True.
And that's how we get these big, huge fights. But for the most part, people are not watching boxing like that.
Yep. No, Oscar Golden Boy's bookie's like, dude, you better make that fight happen. He goes, you get no more of the cocaina. He goes, no, we're working on it. We're working on the rematch. But I see myself like being very heavily involved in like amateur fighting. Like, you know, the whole thing, like a lot of people are like, they like college sports because now they get paid, but they like it for the purity of the sport. I see myself like getting heavily involved, like with the amateur scene. Like they're fighting for pennies. Like they work at Best Buy during the day and then they're fighting at night.
Yeah, what I'm hoping is after this lawsuit plays out, we'll have a bit of a vacuum and a lot of these lower promotions will have a chance to kind of grow their
brand.
I need to see. I don't trust this guy. Like I'm not sold on him. If Dana White can literally slap his wife on video and not be suspended, dude, that's nuts.
Well, he can't be suspended. He is the boss. How do you suspend a boss?
Look, brother, like we live in a post-Epstein era. Like the whole world is now aware that everybody that's rich and powerful are child molesters. And it's like that, look, nothing surprises me anymore.
You know, when you're rich, most likely you don't go to jail.
You got the money. It doesn't matter.
You don't go to jail when you're rich.
Exactly.
Unbelievable.
Exactly.
So unless you murder somebody.
There's a very good quote I've heard. A crime to which the penalty is a fine only applies to the poor. And that's 99% of the laws in this country. All right.
That sounds like some medieval shit.
Slap the shit out of your wife all you want. Just make sure you got $1 billion in the bank.
Hey, dude, the best was
You know what Dana did? He paid his wife off.
Dude, she's on a yacht. You asked a question before. How many toes would I rub? How many Dana White slaps would it take for me to just sail around the Caribbean? You know what I mean? Like, I got slapped the shit out of me. Like, just keep me away from this. Is all I'm gonna say.
Oh my god, that's hysterical.
Yeah. Yeah, let's laugh about some asshole beating his wife because he's an oligarch. Like, Jesus.
Unbelievable. Christ. Dude, the reporters were like, so Dana, what did she say to you? What got her going? He was like, well, guys, Dana, let me tell you.
Did she leave dirty dishes in the sink?
Right? Dude, the reporters didn't press him for shit. John Morgan.
I mean, come on.
It's like Dana. What the bitch do? What the bitch do?
Well, now that you ask, John.
Holy fuck,
dude,
man.
Dude, you know what the best was? He goes, guys, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to just suspend myself. He goes, I have to live with this for the rest of my life. And I go, yeah, motherfucker. The office, going to the office is an outlet. Doing what you love is an outlet. If you had to sit on your fucking couch, yeah, you'd probably text the bosses and still make deals. But you would have your fucking kids and wife around you a lot more often. You would have to sit with those fucking thoughts and not travel. What do you mean? What's the punishment? Oh, my God.
Yeah, right. Tell that guy he's on house arrest. He's gonna build another house right next door.
But if I was there, I'd be like, "Yeah, Dana, what'd the bitch do?"
Jesus.
And then they'd be like, "You in the back?" And Francisco would be like, "Yeah, can you repeat that? What'd the bitch do?" And then Matt on the other side.
I'm just piggybacking off of him. Don't get mad at me.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just.
Ike's the villain here. Ike started it.
I didn't say it. Don't get mad.
He started it.
Talk to this guy over here.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. No, I think the. Do you think he makes the end of the ESPN era? I think it's about 2.5 years, maybe 2 years and a quarter. Do you guys think he makes it? Dana White?
I think he does. Yeah, I think it does.
Because
I can't see how you can fuck up worse than slapping your wife on camera in this day and age. And like,
look, that situation
beats
came
me.
And went.
Beats me.
Slapped his wife. Nobody was talking about it 2 weeks later. You know, weeks later. So
doesn't he have a fucking contract with Disney right now? Like,
dude, the biggest Joe Rogan probably could go on a whole diatribe. Yeah, right. He's a fucking Mickey Mouse is probably slapping Minnie. Psh, you bitch. What are you doing? Get back in the kitchen.
Next week he's gonna get back. That's really
Oh
my gosh.
Yeah, no, I mean it's like next week Dana White's gonna come out as an anti-Semite. He's gonna be like, well, why do you think I signed with Disney?
Dude, you're gonna see him with the Sheiks, like they're gonna be like I'm gonna hold on. Hold on.
Pump the brakes, brother. Pump the brakes.
Oh man.
Hold on. You set me up there.
I don't know, man.
I think it needs to be in the Olympics, the sport, MMA. I think that'd be amazing. I think it needs to be cleaned up. Like, we need more guys, like, even though the stories you tell about Khabib being a fucking gangster. Like, reporters,
the UFC,
dude,
you know?
If I was talking shit about a fucking fighter right now and he wanted to like chest bump me, it's like, yeah, you know, what did Rampage say to Ariel? I'm alpha, you're beta. I'm alpha, you're beta.
This video that I think it was The Zone. It was about like fighters, like, you know, you talk shit on Twitter. They would drive up to your house with the fighter. And the fighter would come out and kick your ass.
If you could find the video, I'll put it up.
It's hilarious, bro.
If you could find the video, I'll put it up.
I'm gonna see if I find it, bro.
Because I want to find. Matt.
Those videos.
Matt.
Trained fighter versus drunk.
Matt, you are going to fucking dude. This made, and I gave Francisco credit. I didn't just he sent me DM and I put it on my story, but I gave him credit. I said, you guys, Francisco found this. This shit is funny. So here we go. Okay, not X videos, Instagram.
X.
Okay, here we go. You ready?
Oh,
dude, can you read what it says, Matt?
Yeah.
Changing the sound for everybody on audio. Changing the soundtrack makes this an entirely different movie. I forget what Bruce Lee. Maybe Enter the Dragon. The scene where.
That was Return of the Dragon.
Return of the Dragon, one of the dragons. Yeah. Chuck Norris is facing Bruce Lee in the Roman Colosseum, if you guys remember that. If you don't, you're an idiot. But here we go for the video watchers.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, buddy. That's how I feel every time I take my gi off.
Dude, that was his. That was hilarious. I forgot about the hair wag. That was the.
The hair wag's the best part.
Oh. Damn, that was hilarious.
That man had hair.
Matt, you've had hair to your shoulders, right? I could see it.
Dude, I had that hair down to my waist.
Really?
God damn.
Yeah. Oh. I lived out in Colorado for like 6 years.
Sugar dude. Matt O'Malley over here.
Even months.
Sugar Shane, Sugar Shane.
Dude, I had a fucking beard down to my nipples.
Oh my god, man. Bro, I think I seen you on the expressway.
You might have. Or it could have just been a chick with really hairy nipples.
I was like, what's up, babe?
I'm not a babe.
You're not your babe.
Frankie, let me know how much more time you did. I'll see.
Oh, I can't find it right now, man. I'm trying to find it, but it's hilarious.
No worries. Here's the other one.
Guys. Yo, what did you think about Ian Gary?
Good transition.
Yeah, right? What a segue.
Dude, I didn't see what the fuck he was so livid about with the kid slapping. Did you hear about this, Matt?
Look, if he doesn't like what Magny said, he's really not going to like what Strickland said. That's all I'm saying. 100%. I don't know why he's so mad at Magny. Magny's just chilling. Like, he's a nice guy.
Dude, I knew that was like one of those. I didn't even see the first part. I saw the second part, like the person who like gets called in soccer for the foul, like the second person. Yeah.
Dude,
I felt like he was like what do they call that? Bulletin board material. Like he was like fixated on that shit, and he fucking said. And he liked my post on Instagram. Like, what?
Yeah, nah, man. I don't know, man. People are fucking weird. But again, I think it's just like controversy to sell tickets. You know, he's trying to show that he can be a controversial fighter, too. Because that shit sells.
Dude, I say all the time, be yourself. It's more natural that way, more organic. People can gravitate. They can see through the show. But if yourself is like leaping on some shit that's not there, God bless his wife. Because then he's like, and why is the fucking toilet seat up? You know, I like to take my doopies in the middle of the night. And she's like, honey, I'm sorry. You know, you said, and I said, roll the bread closed. I hate my stale biscuits. Like, what else is he fucking gravitating to or fixated on? I was like, I thought Magny would have said, like, man, I slapped those little shits. Like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, right? I beat those little motherfuckers like I beat their mom's cheeks.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Damn, Neil. Chill.
Damn. Yeah, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, dude, he, like, beat him and then gave him the finger. It's like,
yeah, but let me tell you something.
You broke off.
Neil's calves, bro. Neil has the smallest calf I've ever seen on anybody.
That poor fucking guy, man. That was brutal.
On 10 days notice, too, or some shit.
I don't know how he didn't just fucking tap, bro. Like, I would have tapped. Those kicks were disgusting.
I think he was Marine. I think he was in the Army or he was a Marine, so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's a kick me in my fucking calf until my explodes course in the Army or the Marines, but.
You guys have a favorite war flick?
What up?
You guys have. I've never seen Platoon.
Oh, yeah, Platoon's amazing.
My brother suggested that.
You've never seen Platoon, bro?
My brother's it's crazy.
I think I got to go, fellas. You know, I'm out of here. Have a good day. It was nice knowing you.
Okay.
Have you ever seen Deer Hunter?
Oh, God. Back-to-back movies I haven't seen.
Of course, yeah. Nope.
No, I know you saw it. I was asking.
I Deer Hunter, yes.
Dude, I've seen Lone Survivor and 1917.
1917 was good.
It was.
It's very good.
Parts of Saving Private Ryan. That shit looks.
You haven't even seen Saving Private Ryan's a fucking modern classic.
You're crazy.
I have this whole thing. Like, Saving Private Ryan.
The beginning of. When they showed D-Day, when they were fighting on the beach, that shit was crazy.
I saw a clip of that. I was like, oh, shit, that's like the video game.
Yo, have you seen Apocalypse Now?
Is that the movie with the Mayans?
That was Lawrence Fishburne's first movie.
It might have been. Yeah, I know.
It was his first movie. He was a kid. He was a kid in that movie.
Yeah. I think so.
Wow. Okay, so in this order, which order? Apocalypse Now, Deer Hunter, Platoon. Would you guys rank them?
You need to watch Bridge Over the River Kwai first.
You're joking.
How about Hamburger Hill? You ever seen that?
What the fuck? Are you guys making up movies now? No. Hamburger Helper?
I said Hamburger Hill. Look that up. Hamburger Hill, dude. That's that movie is a classic, bro.
You need to watch Chicken Caws Softly in the Moonlight.
Stop. And I feel
you
like
need to watch One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
That's the shit.
Wait, that's a real movie?
Fuck the movie. Read the book, man. The book is
The fucking movie's good though.
It is. Very
the movie is good.
Oh, Don Hamburger Cheadle, Hill. Hamburger Hill.
Yeah, it's a fucking good movie, man. It's a good war movie.
I'm sorry.
There was a scene where the guy gets his arm blown off and he goes, Yo, your arm. And he looks over and he goes, oh. He didn't even realize his arm was blown off.
Yikes. Does Forrest Gump count as a war movie? I've seen that.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say it's a war movie / shrimping expo.
Shrimping. That movie is funny though.
And AIDS tutorial.
Oh my god.
Oh wow.
That hit Francisco yesterday or tomorrow.
Yeah.
Jeez, that is true. No, yeah. You remember the running, you remember the shrimp, but you forget about
Jenny with AIDS.
Jenny. I was about to say Jane.
Yo, I think the real takeaway from that movie is you would have to be retarded to take back a woman with AIDS.
Oh my god.
The funny thing I don't get is he had a kid with her.
Is that his kid?
That was his kid. Yeah, he had a kid with Jenny.
Does the kid have AIDS?
No, the kid was fine.
How do you know?
It seemed that way.
His name is Forrest.
It's just crazy how, like, I'm like, wait a second, she dies of AIDS, but you know what it is with that movie is they try to inject all the things that happened historically and add it into that one movie. Like,
he lived.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it's a great film. It's a compliment.
No, it's a good, it was well made. It was a well made movie. It was
great at the time. It really didn't age as well. Like, I'd much rather watch Castaway. It's way better.
I know. If any fighter needs help cutting weight,
put him on an island.
Just put him on an island. Long Island. Long Island, baby.
Leave him with a volleyball.
The new wave is coming of Long Island fighters, though.
He's either going to pull a Tom Cruise and Top Gun, or he's going to fuck the volleyball. It's one or the other. He's going to lose weight either way.
Oh, fuck the volleyball. Jeez. Is that one of your, what would you call it? The categories?
Alex, I'll take fucking beach balls for Wilson. 100.
Do you guys think the UFC aren't going to let Sean O'Malley lose to Marlon Vera, right? Dude, Dana White's going to play Ding Dong Ditch.
I think he'll fight a better fight against Marlon Vera this time around.
Well, didn't he hurt his leg?
Yeah, that's what happened. He had an injury. Yeah,
I saw that fight. Like, I remember when that happened because I kind of felt like Sean O'Malley was pretty fucking bomb with those hands. And I saw him go down.
I think that Marlon Vera it'll be a different fight. I think O'Malley has gotten the experience fighting Jan and stuff. Even though a lot of people didn't feel he won, I think he's gotten better.
Yeah, I mean,
beating Aljamain the way he did. Come on, Aljamain gave everybody fits.
I think Aljamain lost that.
I agree. I would say he lost it more than Sean O'Malley won it, but.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Though.
Anything away from O'Malley's punch, I expect more out of Aljamain Sterling. You know.
Yeah, but that height and reach, and his feints, he couldn't deal with those feints.
Look, he really So, do you guys remember the Adesanya Costa fight?
Costa, yeah.
Yep.
So one of my big issues with that is like if Costa's corner had just told him every time Adesanya backs up, cut down the ring and charge in with your shoulder, I think he could have won that fight.
I think his weight cut. I think he lost that fight on the scales.
You know what? I'd agree with that. He looked exhausted. He did look exhausted.
Dude, he did not look like the guy that fought Yoel. Nobody's ever fought Yoel like that, bro.
You hear the story?
I amazing.
Francisco, you hear the story where he was drunk?
Supposedly he was drinking or something before. Like,
he's like, I have one glass of wine. I couldn't fall asleep. It was different time clock. I have two glasses of wine. I still don't fall asleep. I finished the bottle. I'm drunk in the fight. Because it was like a 7 a.m. wake.
Yeah.
Some crazy shit.
He was trying to find every excuse for that loss.
I like Costa though.
He lost that fight in the scales, man.
Yeah, he was exhausted for that. But like again, the point I'm trying to make is like I feel like Aljamain Sterling really just needed to impose himself on Sean O'Malley. I feel like he gave Sean O'Malley way too much space to work. He was too gun shy. Like, he was really afraid of getting caught with the shot.
But you know what it is? It is that Aljamain is not Aljamain as far as the height was a problem for him. He even said that he couldn't find sparring partners to imitate O'Malley.
Shit, man. I should have hit him up.
Yeah, right?
So the height was a problem. Plus, thing about Aljamain is that Aljamain is good as far as grappling, but as far as striking, he's not that good.
Right. I feel like he fought O'Malley's fight. He didn't need to fight like that.
He couldn't fight his fight. That's the point. O'Malley kept him from that.
Yeah. I, and again, I don't mean to take anything away from O'Malley. I just feel like I know he didn't have a lot of time to train, but it's very much stylistic for Aljamain Sterling.
It was a stylistic problem for him.
Yeah, I feel like he's very good at closing the distance. I feel like he underperformed as far as that was concerned. And again, not to take away from O'Malley, his distance control is.
Do you think a rematch would be different?
Yeah, I do. I think that honestly, if you reschedule them to fight again next weekend, you would have a very.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think Aljamain Sterling would probably try to bum rush him a little bit.
I think he'll try, but I think that O'Malley will be more confident, and O'Malley knows he can knock him out. So all he has to do is wait. He was the more patient fighter, charging though.
Like he had that force of Aljamain charging him.
And my whole thing is like, if he had charged forward with that momentum and a guard up rather than fucking just throwing his hands and closing his eyes like a lunatic, you would have closed distance right there. Like there was
I'm
no
tell you something. I'm gonna tell you something. O'Malley was more composed. O'Malley was very relaxed.
I think he was nervous. He's admitted he was nervous, but Aljo gave him time to get composed.
Once he started to get a feel of Aljamain, he took control of that fight.
That's why Matt and I agree that he should have rushed him like Khabib. Like, Khabib did not give Conor a chance.
Yeah, but the difference between Khabib and Aljamain is that Khabib could grab your toe and still take
it. That's true, right? The chain wrestle. Like,
Khabib never – he grabs anything on you. He never misses. He grabs anything on you, he takes you down once he gets a grip on you.
And, Matt, you would know this. The single is not Aljamain's style. He likes that body lock.
And, like, what I'm saying is really, like, if Aljamain Sterling had walked off – like, the bell rang and he charged with a fucking flying knee, he would have had better luck than sitting there on the outside – getting picked apart. You know, he needed to close the distance immediately. He needed to be creating a lot more pressure than he was.
I think he tried. In round one, he tried.
I don't think he grappled till the end of round one.
I said the end of round one.
Oh.
And in the beginning of round two, he tried. Yeah. And he got stuffed both times.
Oh, do you want me to play the clip with what's his name? Henry? I have that ready. Where Henry, he gives Aljamain advice.
Oh, yeah, play that.
He's like, don't wrestle at the beginning of the rounds. And then he comes out the second round fucking wrestling.
Let me let you in on a little secret, everybody. You see, I was hopping out Aljo with the game plan, but he absolutely followed none of it. So what are you expecting him to do tomorrow night?
This is crazy.
Might as well ask your opinion. And I said this. You guys, listen to me. He's going to counter you or move like crazy. He doesn't have the ability to stick in the center. Stick to your game plan, push him against the cage, and easy money. I think the strength won't be there, but he'll be wiry and his height and his length. Just got to be smart, closing the distance, and cut his ass off. Listen to what I'm telling him, because everything that happened in the fight just happened. Watch. Defense is number one. Hands up and close the distance right away. Doesn't matter how you close. He'll be dangerous at the beginning of round one and the beginning of round two. But don't give him that. So this is Saturday now. I'm just like, hey, one more thing. Don't react to his fakes. He starts his game like that. If you go away, he starts to figure out his distance. Good luck breaking now with the little kiss.
I literally just said that.
Did Aljamain do any of that? No. What did that say in that message?
I just said that. Like, if he had just dove at the motherfucker, it would have been better than what he did. Because, again, Sean O'Malley is better at the distance control. Why the fuck are you letting him control distance? Didn't make sense to me.
But I understand
that at that level, what are you going to do?
Yeah, but I think that he needed, like, the way O'Malley was feinting towards him, he needed to feint O'Malley also to get on the inside. He can't rush because O'Malley was moving away. You understand? So he needed to fake him up, maybe fake him on top and then come down for that double leg or whatever, not just rush him because he could still get hit that way too.
Well, yeah. I know.
He had to have some kind of tactic on the way in. But you know, one of those leg kicks, he could have got him, you know? The difference, is Khabib would have choked him out on Saturday. That's the difference.
So, like, look.
Khabib would have grabbed him. He would have grabbed one leg, and Khabib, once he grabs you, you never seen anybody get away from him.
Because not it's once. Do or die with the takedown.
No,
I love
it. He grabs you, and he could grab a toe and get your ankle and then get your knee. And then
exactly.
He put you right in like a bull constrictor. That's not how Jermaine.
Yeah.
Jermaine was able to grab him against the cage in the end of the first round. All right, that was the end of the first round. Second round, he did it in the beginning of the second round too. Had him up against the cage, couldn't do nothing with him. You understand?
Yeah.
That was the problem. Then he tried it again for a third time, but this time he tried it with a punch, right? Tried it with a punch and boom, got hit. I mean, Hudo's a tactician. This guy studies fights. So
even last week, I was talking about his entry and it being a very real exploitable weakness. And I talked in depth about what does the training camp take advantage of, right? Like, what does Sean O'Malley's camp do when you're against this accomplished grappler, right? And it looked to me like Sean O'Malley's camp focused on making what he was already good at great. You know, he really, like, he did what he went to do. But I can't let go of this feeling that, like, Aljamain Sterling needed to push that pace a little bit harder.
Well, he sure did. But the time.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, everything you're saying is absolutely correct. Like,
his timing was off. That's what I think.
You think he has a bad taste and wants to stay at 35, or is he going to reset at 45?
He's not going to 45.
No, he
knows.
Well, he even said it in the post interview. He's like, "What the fuck is Volk gonna do to me?" You know, which facts.
I mean, Volk was gonna fuck him up anyway. But.
Yeah. Regardless of how he did against Stone Valley,
Volk. Let me not say he's gonna fuck him up because that's a bad thing to say. But I'm saying he stands up a chance of beating him at 45. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think Volk would murder him personally.
Volk is a great.
Honestly, that fight with Makhachev was like, I couldn't fucking believe how strong Volk is. I was just nuts. You want to talk about
Doc? It's like he beat Yair, right? Took Yair. Everybody thought Yair had his chance, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. I picked Yair.
I remember.
I'll admit it. All right. So then. On the record, do we all got Holloway over Chan Sung Jung, Korean Zombie?
Yeah, I got Holloway.
Look, I like Korean Zombie's got a chin. I don't think I've seen him do much else. He did a shot, damn sure, but
Korean Zombie. I mean, you know how you kill a zombie, right? You've seen Walking Dead, right?
I haven't, but I get
you hit him in the head. You stab him in the head, right? So I think
it was Volkanovski that beat the shit out of him, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He dropped him in the fourth round, but he looked like he was potentially going to die in the third round.
I picked Korean Zombie going into that.
Really?
And Volkanovski is like, well, thanks, mate, for having zero confidence in me.
I actually bet a fourth round knockout. I was just hammered at the bar.
Oh, my goodness.
I hit that shit at like plus 1,600. It was the best bet of my life.
Wow.
I was like, yeah.
Damn. This shit is, I mean, if it goes to a decision, it's only because Korean Zombie's like got the whole Asian community behind him. It's in Singapore.
Oh. Well, I don't know if Holloway, like, again, that guy's got a hell of a chin on him. And
I think Holloway gets it, though.
I don't know if he's got the power to finish him off like that in three. Because I think Volk's stronger than Holloway is, personally.
Good fights underneath Anthony Smith. So we're all going Holloway, right?
Yeah.
Come on now. Anthony Smith, Ryan Spann. Is this a rematch? What? Why does that sound familiar? Yeah, they fought 2 years ago. Ryan Spann lost to Anthony Smith via submission. I think Ryan Spann's a different animal. I'm going Spann.
To me, it looks like the most important fight of the night is the bantamweight Nakamura fight. That's probably going to be the most important fight of the night.
He was that big prospect, right? He won like Road to the UFC, if I remember.
He's honestly the only one that I'm seeing out here.
I haven't seen him fight, but I'll go with Nakamura. You guys got Caceres or Chikadze, Georgia versus Arizona. Yeah, I'll go with Chikadze. Blanchfield, Jersey Zone. She's an amazing submission artist versus Tali Santos. Looked fucking phenomenal against Valentina.
That's actually going to be a good fight.
That's
too.
A great fight. Oh, my God. Yeah. That's a long travel for the Jersey girl. I know it's far from Brazil, but I don't know. I'm going to go with Santos. This makes Blanche feel better.
Yeah. What do you think of the rematch with Shevchenko?
When is that? UFC Noche. I go, what does that mean? Night? What, you guys have forgot saying fight. Noche. How do you say fight? Night. How do you fight say fight night. In Spanish?
Fight? Pelea.
Pelea.
Yeah. UFC Pelea Noche. Like how
combates. Hard? Combates, which is combat.
UFC Combate Noche. Muy traffic.
What did you ask about?
Pelea de noche. Pelea de noche is fighter tonight.
Like, what did you ask about?
Asking about Valentina Shevchenko, a rematch.
Oh.
Alexa Grasso. I'm going to go with Shevchenko, and then we get a trilogy.
No.
I feel like those type of divisions that, like, there's not much knocking on the door, they can, like, delay with, like, these trilogies or quadrilogies, like the Moreno Figueiredo, Grasso,
the Figueiredo,
Shevchenko.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with the.
I'm gonna go with Valentina.
Valentina
lost that first one, but
once she finds a husband, she's gonna lose. Because I feel like once she like finds love in her heart, then she will just like not be a cyborg anymore.
You're a fucking idiot.
Is that what happened with Amanda?
That's how I pick fights, Matt.
The power
once,
of love.
Once she's breastfeeding, the fight is she's gonna get beat.
Dude, I told my wife, I was like, Mackenzie Dern came back 6 months later. That's fucking nuts when you think about it.
That is nuts.
And she was all like floppy, and now she's tight again. No, don't comment. Everybody, guys, if you're watching or listening, their mics cut off.
I'm gonna let that one go, like.
Yeah, I got no words.
God damn.
The mics are back on.
Yeah, so like the big one that's coming up, I'm kind of excited for
Izzy Strickland. Does Strickland make it to the country safe?
Who knows?
Strickland.
You guys listen to him on Rogan?
Yeah, he's hilarious.
That Rogan was very uncomfortable at times. Like he was like, Holy shit. You're nuts. He goes, brother, I was raised by neo-Nazis. Like, oh, my God.
And he doesn't give a shit, dude. He's a wild person.
Best friends. What do you guys think about this? Is getting some, again, I haven't even seen what happened, but I'm seeing, like, the post-dust from this. Natan Levy, Jewish fighter, brought in a neo-Nazi and beat him up on video. Did you guys see this?
I heard about it. He brought him into the gym or some shit like that.
He's getting a lot of pushback from it. Is this opening a dirty door? He's untrained. He's untrained.
If you're going to take an invitation to go fight somebody, you better be ready to fight somebody. Like, that's what I'm going to say about that. Like,
you know, my thing with those kind of situations, is the lawsuits, bro. You fucking rattle somebody's brain really bad. not only will they sue the fighter, but they'll sue the gym owners and all that shit. Maybe you got to remember what happened with that lawsuit where I don't know who the guy was, the jiu-jitsu guy that broke the guy's neck. Remember that story?
That sounds...
You don't know that story? That guy got millions of dollars. I think he got like... I can't remember the numbers. It was up there in numbers.
You guys see Forrest Griffin?
The video, he's rolling with the guy, and he pulls a move, and he turns the guy onto his head, and the guy breaks his neck right there on the spot. And then he ended up suing for millions of dollars.
Well, the judge that found in favor of that fucking moron is a bigger moron than the guy who got his neck broken.
Yo, man, it was crazy.
Look, I say it all the time, man. This shit is very fun, but it is not a game.
No, it's not a game. And this guy wasn't a novice. This guy was, I think he was still a white belt or whatever, something in between. And what the hell?
Yeah, that's not the Jewish guy, folks. That's the white supremacy. He could look Jewish with that hair.
Well, look, my whole thing is, like, I know at the gyms I've worked at, we have liability waivers at the front desk. You need to sign one before you do anything in the gym.
Yeah, they were talking about the waivers and stuff, but there was something that wasn't in the waiver and that's why the guy won the lawsuit.
That's what could not be in the waiver.
I don't know. What it was, but this guy won a lot of money.
That's fucking
bullshit. Listen, he was just rolling with the guy. He was just rolling, and this guy decided to do a move. He did the move wrong, broke the guy's neck.
Jesus.
When you see the video, it's like, holy shit.
I'm never going to watch that. That fucked me up. I don't like stuff like that.
Yeah, it was. I saw it. It was really, like, you see the guy. You see him hit his neck this way against the ground, and then his body's, like, the other way, kind of. Oh. Yeah. It was a big story.
I got a lot. Lot of herniated discs in my neck from wrestling, and I can watch people break their arms, fucking break their legs all day long, but like, you show me somebody break their neck, man, I hate that shit.
Yeah, that was really bad.
Well, I feel bad for the guy. I mean,
yeah, it was bad.
But you got to defend it. You got to protect yourself.
I'll send it to you guys in the messenger what the story was. It's a while back.
Yeah, I'm right. Very curious.
Matt, you want to give some play-by-play with this?
Because
Renner
Gracie.
You want to start it over? You want to start it over?
This is where the fight starts.
Oh, okay. So you can see this guy being a spaz stepping in, gets kicked.
So the guy with the mohawk is the white supremacist?
Yeah, you'll figure that out in 10 seconds, who's the UFC fighter. The kid's not bad. I thought he'd be like way more of a schlup.
No,
he looks like he's handling his own for a bit there.
Yeah, what's going on?
Much bigger than this other guy.
Ooh, he's throwing.
Hell yeah.
Okay, arm triangle. They cut to that.
He tapped.
Oh, there's a tap. Ooh, he hanging on to that.
That's.
Okay, he's still tapping. Like he said, "I'm tapping."
Here, I'll get some sound on this.
Make him squeal.
No, Chris Curtis, one of my favorite fighters, told him to make him squeal.
Put it on.
Ooh, he's throwing. Nice.
That's out.
He's like bully beatdown. Ooh, nice. Love those.
6 feet. Hey, you got 90 to turn.
Nice, there you go.
Yeah, I can hear the crowd, all my teammates rooting for me.
This is how you want to win over people? Come on, Nathan.
That's about it.
Come on, Ben.
40 seconds. Is he gonna do something at the end? Yeah, I would just punch the stomach.
A little bit. Just an uncomfortable feeling.
Keep going. No, no, sorry. Shut up.
Is Eric Nixick condoning this?
Eric Nixick, the owner of Elite XC in Vegas.
I support this 100%. 100%. And again, I don't even give it, like, I don't care about his political leanings or why this happened. If you're going to walk into a gym and try to fight somebody that's a real fighter on more than just a can you show me what's going on thing, get ready to get your ass beat. That's it.
Oh, Sean Strickland, same shit, right? Didn't he have a troll come in? He beat the shit out of a troll? That was bad. Yeah. That was fucking bad. I think he...
Look, man, I, like, at UFC, when I was coaching at
UFC...
You
know which one was bad? You ever seen the one with Deontay Wilder?
No, who the fuck?
Oh, you have to look that one up. I forgot the guy's name. He was trolling. He was trolling Deontay Wilder. Deontay kicked the shit out of
him. Yeah, I wouldn't fuck with that guy,
dude. Honestly, you gotta see it. You gotta see it.
It's fucking dumb, man. It was, what the fuck do you think is gonna happen? You know. What you think?
You know, the problem is with those situations, man. You fuck around and hurt one of these guys. Seriously. Lawsuits when you got millions of dollars, bro.
Oh my god, I found this video.
Yo, and this is why we should exclusively do these things on docks in the Florida Everglades and just roll their bodies to the gators.
For real, just feed them to the gators, they won't find their bodies. There you go. There you go.
There you go.
There you go. That guy, yeah, that's the guy, Charlie Zelenoff.
Oh, dude, what is this guy thinking, man?
What is he thinking?
What are you thinking?
Oh, every time he throws a punch.
Oh, no. What is he doing?
Don't get up.
Bro, it's insane.
Don't get up.
Deontay Wilder says, get up, bitch.
Yeah, get up. Get up.
Oh, I'm just waiting for him, too, man. No.
It is gonna be right now. It's on the way I'm here.
Oh
my god.
That's from fucking Wilder.
He's
gonna
stop. He's in the left hook.
Huh? Oh, I think he's saying don't ever call me the N-word again.
Yeah. I don't know what these people are thinking getting in his way either.
At least
but they had to. Deontay would have killed him.
Yeah.
I'd have let him.
No, watch this. Watch this. He goes running. Watch
Wait,
this.
There's more?
No, watch. Yeah, there's a little bit more.
Run your mouth. Dude, I would take my gloves off, like show like complete. Bend the knee.
He said he wants a rematch.
What an idiot.
Well, yo. Like, Deontay Wilder can't hit somebody without gloves on.
Bro, he'd kill him. Kill him. They don't, those guys didn't get in the way. He murdered him.
Yeah.
He punched his brain right through his fucking, right through his eye.
Can you imagine the audacity of this fucking guy getting dropped three times on just three hooks?
And he didn't hit him flush.
Yeah, I know. He's, dude.
What is it?
Oh, boy.
Oh, there's another one with that same guy. He's boxing a young kid. 16-year-old kid. Kicked the shit out of him.
The next time I come back,
I hit you in the box.
Charlie,
it
ain't gonna be good for you.
You gotta watch it, man. I'm the best. I'm still the best.
What?
Man with a senior knocked out.
Hell yeah, dude.
He went running.
Yeah, I've heard of that guy, Charlie. I fucking hate
Charlie Zelenoff. Yeah.
He gets the shit beat out of him everywhere, bro.
Reporting.
Yo, there's a video of him. He's sparring with a young kid. I think the kid was like 16 years old. And he said he could beat the kid up or whatever. Yo, that kid beat the shit. Yo, beat the living shit out of him. It was crazy. Actually, he got on top of him. Was like, "You gonna keep talking?"
Yeah.
He was crazy.
I think there should be karate or boxing or jiu-jitsu in American high schools.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, this shit is so essential to like developing a sense of self and like just being confident. Like, how can you be confident if you're afraid people can kick the shit out of you? You know,
all transparency. I would like love in the future if given the opportunity to like, I feel like that 16-year-old, and I heard this from my friend who's a cop. He's like, yeah, man, we're not worried about the 20, 25-year-olds. He goes, it's the 16-year-old, the fucking hormonal maniacs that, like, have no direction that you have to worry about on the street. Because they don't think of the repercussions. And it's like, I would love if I could, like, somehow, like, just, I don't know, influence in a good way the youth, man. Like, these kids. And that's why it's like, it would have been dangerous if Conor McGregor beat Khabib after talking all that shit. I mean, luckily, Sean O'Malley, he didn't overstep. He was playful.
Nah, he wasn't. He didn't overstep.
But
I think Aljamain was a little bit more in his chest than anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he's like, guys, I'm playing a character. I go, man, then don't play the fucking
don't
character.
Don't ever admit that. You can't admit that. Just be the fucking character. Right.
Colby's not a character. I really think he's living out his 14-year-old dream. Fucking strippers, hot tubs. The aviator glasses. Like, I think he's literally living out his, like, his wet dream. People's like, no, he's putting on an act. I go, no, no, no. I go, yeah, maybe he's polite to you in private.
Dude, he's made more money because of it. Come on.
100%.
Nobody knew Kobe until he started acting.
He could sit on the fucking sideline for 18 months or however long, and he's getting a title fight. Wait, who's Heffin?
You ever seen those videos?
Yo,
by,
somebody's joining us. How is this stream tweeted out? Oh wait!
You guys ever watched those videos from that guy Patrick Gavia?
Did you guys invite somebody, named Hefe?
Hefe,
is that my brother?
What Yo, what up?
Yo, Hefe,
what are you doing on this podcast?
You shared a link to it, so I was like, let me
you
check out.
You shared the link to the private.
Sick! I'm glad everybody.
This is insane.
Oh my god. Are you enjoying the show, Heffin?
Well, I just got into it, so I didn't hear nothing yet.
Do you know combat sports?
I don't know much. Not like Matt.
Yeah.
He knows who Jake Paul is, though, right?
Oh, fuck that guy. I know enough to say that.
You see?
Do you think...
Even he knows who Jake Paul is. I mean, come on.
Do you think Sean O'Malley is going to be a good representative of mixed martial arts now that he's a champion? Do you know who Sean O'Malley is?
Yeah, I think he's got a big target on his back, and I think it'll make for an exciting division. I think he has some holes in his game that people are going to go after. And I think it's going to inspire like a new birth of wrestler. Who's that just underneath him that Aljo kind of freed the reins on?
Henry.
No. Umar. He's number one at the weight. Real strong wrestler. I think it's a Dagi guy.
Umar Nurmagomedov?
Not quite. I'm spacing on it.
Well, you said a Dagestani guy, so you know your shit.
Yeah, I think he's. I think he's got a good chance with Sean O'Malley if he can take it off the feet. I think what I don't like though is everyone's saying why couldn't they get Aljo get him to the ground, and I'm just thinking how could you say that not standing in front of a 6 foot plus guy with that wingspan?
Yeah. Francisco was saying that. It's so hard to get in on somebody that's built like that with the actual technique he has. So,
I mean, even when he threw the punch, right? He didn't he missed. He couldn't, he didn't have enough reach.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, bing.
Yeah. He definitely fell short on that. Right.
Oh, well, the Georgian Marab.
Marab, right. Good call. Everybody said he's like the boogeyman of the division. Nobody's going to face him.
Who's it?
Marab Dvalishvili.
What is he ranked?
Three.
And he only didn't fight for a title because him and Aljo were buds, and so they just wouldn't.
Oh, yes.
Marab. I fucking know Marab. He goes to the UFC gym to cut weight.
Name dropping.
Fuck off.
El Jefe, you are our first caller. I think we'll have to, like, I think I'm going to change the graphics and sound. We might have to make, like, a new, like, MMA guys or MMA round table and stuff. Make some new.
Hell yeah.
What do you call it? What the fuck is it called? New shit. It'll be new shit. But El Jefe, thanks for calling, man.
Yeah, share out the link so I can watch the whole thing.
Yes, yeah, the right link.
Do that without just linking everybody to the chat. Yes,
not your Pornhub premium link.
I'll leave you guys to it. Peace.
I'm gonna link my OnlyFans next time. Don't worry.
I'm good.
Wait, for real? You have an OnlyFans?
Bye, Jeff.
Yeah, he said OnlyFans. He's like, I'm out. Oh man, he is our only fan.
yeah, apparently.
No, I mean, I got to do a better job at fucking.
That, my bad, I didn't mean to link that to the fucking whole world.
We could do this. Crazy. We could do this. Like, think of a name and shit. We could do this every Wednesday and actually promote it the day before. Like, I could figure out how to schedule something the day before and actually do something social on social media. But, dude, it's already been 90 minutes, 95 minutes.
Yeah, man.
I could have watched Deer Hunter in this time.
You couldn't have. Deer Hunter's like 2 hours.
Yeah, it's a long ass movie.
So good.
All right, Deer Hunter, Platoon, or what was the
Apocalypse Now?
Which one, boys? Which one?
And Dana was like,
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you gotta see it.
I don't see their social posts. Right? What do you say?
Dana was like, well, he's black. What am I supposed to say? What the fuck's wrong with that?
That's a dub for Dana White, man. Like, yes. Dana was like, the fuck out of it.
What am I gonna say? What the fuck he did wrong? So what? So fucking what?
Exactly, dude. He's a street.
We're paying him to fight. Like, we don't really care what he says.
Yeah. Oh. What do you think about Colby's remarks? Huh? Colby? Oh wait. What? No.
Colby.
He's fighting on Saturday.
And then it's like, what do you think about Strickland's remarks? And he's like, I agree with everything.
Who? Yes. All right, boys.
All right, man.
Hey, guys. Always a pleasure.
Hell of a show.
Do it up again real soon, boys.
Peace, everybody.
Definitely, bro.
Deuces.
Later.
All right, that's it. Later, Frankie.
Later, bro.
Get out of this.